Blog Talk Radio.
For the hottest indie music on the net, tune in to the Fierce Female Network Radio. Small business owners, call us at 678-306-6762 to learn how to get your business on mainstream radio and television. Increase your client database today, or visit us on Facebook using the keyword, The Fierce Female.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the Fierce Female Network. I am so happy to have you to join me this afternoon. It is April 12th, 3 p.m. on the Eastern Standard Time Zone. I'm your host, Adrienne Manson, and today we have a very special guest with us, Ms. Cedra Owens, and she's going to talk to us all about her journey as being an author and a writer, and she has a debut book that we're going to talk about on today. Before we do that, I want you guys to head on over to Facebook and please give the Fierce Female Network a like on our page. Please do follow us on Instagram as well, the Fierce Female on Instagram and Twitter. I really do appreciate that. And right now I'm going to say hello to my host. Hello, Ms. Owens.
Hi, Adrienne. How are you doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. It's a sunny day.
Where are you?
I'm in North Carolina.
North Carolina.
I'm out of Durham.
Oh, okay. Oh, wonderful. And so I just want to say welcome to the show. I'm so glad that you're able to be here with me on today. And I do
want to appreciate you having me.
You're welcome. I did see you on Facebook and Instagram as well, pushing and promoting and letting others know that you're going to be on. I really do appreciate you helping to get the word out. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So how long have you been writing? How long have you had the passion to write? Did you start out writing poems or lyrics, or did you just go straight into writing novels?
Well, I think everyone at some stage when they were an angsty teenager was writing poetry, and I wasn't any different. But I was always told that I had a talent for writing. I enjoyed it. And kids I went to high school with kept telling me, you should go to school to be a writer. You should be a writer. But, you know, when you're a teenager, you already know everything. So that wasn't where my head was at. I was going to be a doctor.
Oh, really? That's a great dream, to be a doctor.
Well, it didn't last long. I went to school at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And it was hard. Going there was hard. And what I ended up learning is that the parts of science that I loved anatomy and physiology, but other aspects of biology I didn't like. I didn't like ecology and invertebrate biology and things that I had to take. And I fell out of love with it, to be honest. I went for 5 years, and I really fell out of love with it. Over time, my creative side began to flourish. I really got involved in, I don't know if you've heard of it. You've heard of Dungeons & Dragons, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so I got involved with tabletop role-playing games like that. And the benefit of that was that I learned how to expand my imagination and just create a whole different universe, different characters, different things like that. And it really helped improve my writing over time.
Okay, that's interesting. That's a different approach. I like that approach. That's a very different approach to expand your abilities with writing.
Mm-hmm. But it also got to a point where I would be able to write something, and I would just come to a stop as I wasn't able to complete it. And over time, I guess, living and experience, I got to a point where I could improve my character development. That was what I was really missing, my character development and how characters interacted with each other, different situations to cause conflict. And once I mastered that, I finished a short story that you can find on my website. And once I completed that short story, it was called Quitting Time, it just hit me in the flash, I can do this. And so that's when I sat down and I began to write A Haven Amidst Perdition.
Now tell me, your website, you mentioned your website with a short story. Now, what's the name of the website so people can go to the website and read the short story?
My website is called The Wicked Orchard, and it's at cedraowens.wordpress.com.
Okay. That's an interesting name. The Wicked Orchard.
Yes, The Wicked Orchard. That's what I call it.
That's interesting. Now, how did you pick that name? How did you come to select that name?
Oh, wow. That name stemmed from me playing video games more than 10 years ago, an old video game called Final Fantasy XI. It somehow generated then. I can't even remember specifically how, but it's something that stuck with me. So when I got to the point when I wanted to make a website, I chose The Wicked Orchard because when I write things, I don't write happily ever afters. I don't write anything that's very typical or I guess I'd say mainstream. I write in a way to titillate your senses but also make you uncomfortable at the same time.
Okay.
And so it's fruitful but forbidden. So I thought The Wicked Orchard was fitting.
You know, and I'm enjoying this conversation. I'm enjoying the dialogue with you. And I really enjoy a particular point that you made when you talked about character development and character interaction. And that really tells me that your level of writing is really more mature than other writers. I've interviewed a host of authors and writers, you can imagine, on the show. And it's very few times that I can remember someone bringing up character development and character interaction. And so now I'm glad that you brought up that point because it does open a door to new questions. And I want to ask you, when you're writing, do you develop your characters first or do they kind of develop as your story unfolds?
They develop as my story unfolds. I'll come up with a basic character and a basic start for my first chapter. And as they begin to move around in my head, as they walk through the different settings, other characters introduce themselves. And as they interact with other characters, that's how their inner motivations and their drive start to develop. So I don't sit down and lay it out in an outline. It just happens as I'm typing. It just develops.
Oh, I love that. I love that. So you truly do have a gift, talent, and a muse for writing. When someone says that they sit down and they begin typing and then characters show up, that lets me know that the person that's the writer or the author, they really have a muse and an inspiration for writing. They really have that gift to write. There's a difference. There's a real difference.
Well, when I was in school, you know, typical English and literature classes, they always wanted you to outline everything that you worked on.
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely hated it. I absolutely hated it. I would do the bare minimum for an outline and turn it in because I was never going to follow it. I didn't need a framework from what I was going to do. Just give me the piece of paper and a pencil and let me go.
You know, to me, a true writer, and a lot of people may not like what I'm about to say, but a true writer that really has a gift to write stories of all different levels and all different genres, really when you sit down and write, the characters do introduce themselves as you're writing. That's a true gift. That's a true talent for writing. It really is because not many people can sit down and write and do that. Characters just don't walk into the story as you're writing. And I can say that and converse with you, and you understand what I mean because it happens to me when I sit down to write, the story just goes. It just takes over. It's almost like when you sit down and you're typing, for me, typing and writing, the story unfolds and it tells itself. It really introduces itself to you, for me. Do you have that experience? Like
yes,
the story is really introducing itself to you?
Yes, I'm getting chills when you're saying that because that's exactly what happens. I can start writing and I may have a basic idea in mind of what I want to happen, but as it goes, it just manifests itself. I've had characters who were going to be main characters step back and another, you know, secondary character step forward and just take over. It's just, it's really nothing I have no control of.
You know, that is so true. The back of the little tiny hairs on the back of my neck just stood up because it's true. And people may think that, wondering what in the world are they talking about, but it's true. You don't have any control. You really don't have any control over it. It just it's a gift and it's a talent. That's the best way that we can describe it, because a gift really unfolds itself on its own. You can't make it work. You can't force it to work. It just works by itself. And
you cannot force
it.
You're right.
No, you can't force it. And so when you're sitting down writing, it just kind of takes over your body. To me, it's almost like the body snatchers. It takes over. It's almost like somebody else steps in and writes the story. Am I right? Do you have that experience?
Yeah.
Almost like someone else just walks in?
It's like you slip into a zone and you can just go, and you can slip into each character and you just know what they're going to say and what they're going to do. And on the flip side of that, if you are in a space where you feel like you need to write and you're trying to write and you're typing things down, it won't feel right because it's not what they would do. It's like you're trying to force them and they're not guiding you. And you end up with a whole bunch of dribble you have to go back and get rid of.
You know, that is so amazing. That is so amazing. I love that you said that, because I have the same experience, and it's really true. When you try to write something and that's not really the way the story should be, it doesn't work, and you're forcing it. And I have to leave it alone and just forget about it and then just go back later. And then it'll write itself.
I have been stuck. I'm working on my 7th manuscript right now, and I've been stuck on it for a fairly long time trying to make a scene happen, and it just hit me. This scene isn't supposed to happen. And when I went back and deleted it and I sat and thought for a moment, they began to talk to me, and I began to type.
Oh, you know what? This conversation is so energizing. It's so intellectually stimulating on the level of authors and writers. I love this conversation. I wish I could, you know what, I feel like when you were talking, I just kind of, and this happens a lot when I interview different guests, I saw like a round table discussion with authors and writers that all have the similar gift. I don't know what, maybe that's something in the future that we'll collaborate on and do. I don't know. It just kind of popped up.
That would be wonderful. I love to hear people's different points of views and how their own process works, because from, you know, reading blogs and different kinds of input from all kinds of writers, not everybody's got the same process. And I feel like being able to just sit down and go without an extensive amount of planning has a little bit of uniqueness to it, but I don't give myself too much credit.
Oh, this is so real. I am having such a surreal moment right now. I really am. Have you experimented or tried to write movies or screenplays or scripts for, not television, but for movies? A screenplay?
No, I've never tried my hand at a screenplay, but I've been told from people who read my work that it plays out like a movie. And actually, when I'm writing, I see what I'm writing. So I'm a child of the 80s, and I'm a huge movie fan. So when I see it, I can put it on the page. Does that make sense? Put it on the page in such a way that I want the reader to be able to see what I'm seeing. I don't want to leave too much up to interpretation, because I want them to be watching the scene and be engrossed in it and involved in it. So it plays out like a movie in my head.
Oh, my God. And that's what's coming through. I have a gift that when people come on the show, I don't know what happens. Something just kind of takes over. I don't know what to call or name it, but that's what came through when you were speaking, movies, that you should be writing screenplays and scripts for movies. Not so much television or sitcoms, but actual movies on big screen.
Well, I would love that. I would love if anything that I've written would become a movie one day, to be able to lay eyes on it like that. That would be surreal.
You know, I'm going to have to go back through the process. I had taken classes in undergrad, classes for pitching in California and Hollywood, pitching to producers. But I have gotten away from it for so long. I have forgotten the different events that you can go to pitch your screenplay. I would have to do the research all over again. So this show is really scratching me and causing me to grow in areas, and that's a good thing. I'm going to have to research that and give you some information as far as what those events are, where you can go and pitch when that time comes in the next 5 to 7 years, you will be pitching to someone in regard to your movie, your first. Oh, God, that was just, wow. Wow. I got a little tingle when I said that. Yeah, you will be pitching your first movie in 7 years. There, I do know that there's the Sundance, you know what I'm trying to get at? Sundance,
Sundance,
for indie movies? Yes, you'll pitch to Sundance. And then there's another specifically designed for individuals who are writing their first movie where you can, and matter of fact, you're going to get an award, too, on that first one. And matter of fact, it's going to be fiction. I might as well just, oh, my goodness. Do you have a little notepad right here? I am serious. You are going to write a movie. It's going to be fiction. I guess people are saying, well, what else would you be writing besides fiction? But it's going to be like sci-fi. I don't know if you write in this type of genre where it's like alien sci-fi from another planet. I don't even know if you have experience with that type of writing, but those are the characters that you're going to be playing around with.
I love sci-fi, and I don't pigeonhole myself in a genre because the story just comes. I don't write in the genre. So this A Haven of Misperdition is drastically different than the second manuscript that I wrote, and they're different than the fourth one. You know, I've written a fantasy mythological type of story. It's not really alien or sci-fi, but it does take you way out there on the fringes of reality and mythology and
yes, you know what? And then Zeus just walked in. You're gonna create characters, not Zeus, but characters like Zeus. You'll come up with whatever names that you're gonna name that particular character, and then you'll develop whatever powers or whatever special things that they do. That's what you'll be writing.
Okay, that's creepy.
This is fascinating. This is really fascinating.
For my fourth manuscript, I had to do a whole lot of research into ancient Sumerian and Babylonian deities in order to complete it, because I wanted to choose something obscure but that fit the theme of the story. And so it's funny that you said that.
Wow, this is amazing. I don't even want to take a break. We went past our break time. But I'm going to take a short little break, and then we're going to come back and talk some more. Before I do that, we do have some guests on the line. I just kind of want to find out who's on the line, if they want to say hello or if they have a question for you. Hello, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Wonderful. Do you have a question?
Okay, this is Gail. I had told Cedar that I would be listening in because I hadn't had a chance to. She knows who I am.
Yes, I do.
Hadn't had a chance to really get to read a lot of the things that she had posted on Facebook. However, I am interested in purchasing her book when I get the opportunity. But I'm really excited about her doing this movie now. Had that ever crossed your mind before?
No, it hadn't crossed my mind, but I've had other people say that it should be a movie. It's been said to me several times, and it's always flattering because that is how I picture it. But no, I just gotten as far as getting the book published so people can enjoy the characters.
Okay, but even though you're getting it published, you know, getting that done for the characters, that is still an option that you can't be doing, looking into, along with having your book being out there and published. I'm sure that I do apologize. I can't remember the lady's name that's doing the conversation, but she's got some great ideas, and I think you should look into it. I think you'd be great at it.
Thank you. I think on my list.
Okay.
Well, Ms. Gail, since I don't want to leave you out, Ms. Gail, since you are on the line, we want to give you a special treat, and this happens during this episode. And since this is a really entertaining and tingling episode, I do want to ask you, Ms. Gail, what type of work do you do? What type of creativity do you have that you generally, what do you like to do with your hands? I see you doing some kind of work with your hands, creativity and crafts and arts. What is it that you, what are you doing?
Well, and she's laughing because she knows that I do a daily message on Facebook every day. What I do is I fast and I pray, and I don't have any conversations with anybody before I start writing. I don't even speak to my family till after 6 in the morning. So I take time out to pray, and then I let the wording come to me, and I start writing. And I was trying to explain it to my sister-in-law that once I start writing, as Cedar was saying, it's not characters, it's messages that come to me. Then when I go to post it to Facebook and I reread it to make sure I've got punctuations and everything is in place, messages come for me to insert as I go. I said, okay, this is what you want. Okay, then I'm going to put this in. It's like a spiritual journey that I'm on. But, yes, I do that, and I have done things like you said, created. I've done gift baskets and things of that sort, you know, to make money. Right now I am disabled, but I don't let that stop me from doing what I feel like I've been called to do. I did want to do motivational speaking at one time, but due to the fact that I failed and tore ligaments in my back and everything, so I'm still doing the motivational, but I'm not standing and speaking. I write.
Okay. You know, I was just about to say, which it does make sense. I was just about to say, you're still going to do motivational speaking, but from a different outlet where it's not traditional. You're going to do motivational speaking, but not traditional, and a different outlet. And with your creativity, with your baskets, that's going to bring you more money than you ever thought that you would be making, because that creativity from the gift baskets is going to stem off and take you into making other crafts.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah,
that's making me flutter here a little bit.
Yeah, so experiment a little bit. I want you to try to experiment a little bit with jewelry or whatever type of – whatever gets you stimulated and going, that's going to be your moneymaker along with your baskets.
Okay, great. And let me get your name again. I'm so sorry.
Adrian,
okay.
I have somebody else on the line. I want them to join in on the conversation. Can you hold on one moment, please?
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm teaching. Okay, thank you.
All right.
Hi, who's on the line? Who's calling? Hello? Caller? Okay, I guess they didn't want to say anything. But that's okay. All right. So that was very interesting. Well, we went right on past our break time. We're going to take just a 2-second break, and then I'm going to come back and finish up with Ms. Owens. And can I put you on hold, Gail? We're going to come back in a few moments.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And we have a little music. This is Old School, that's on the AWM label. This is Old School by J Sound. The AWM label is one of the record labels that I had and still do own. And this is him on the keyboard, one of the artists. Enjoy. To stop music, that was Old School, but something is coming through, and I'm not sure if it's for Miss Owens or Miss Gail. Something with someone's father in the past. There was an incident with your father. I don't know if there was an accident or an injury.
Now my father, he passed in 2013. He had stomach cancer, which got him. That's what he passed from. He had stomach cancer, and the cancer spread it up his spine and caused him mm-hmm. to have a form of like Alzheimer's.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. It was just coming through with someone's father. I didn't know exactly. That's the way gifts work. You know in part,
mm-hmm.
So you just have to say what's coming through, and that's what was coming through with someone's father, injury or some type of illness. So I didn't know if
mm-hmm.
it was you, Miss Gail, or Miss Owen, something to do with the dad. And so what I do want to say with that, to be diligent with prevention. And as far
mm-hmm.
as that particular illness, I do want you to really be vigilant with prevention as far as, you know, being ahead of it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Okay.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
That's why I make sure that I keep my appointments. But I did check into it to see if what he had was hereditary, and the doctor told me, no, it's not.
Okay, good. Very good. Very
mm-hmm.
good. And
yes.
I wanted
yes.
Mrs. Owens to talk a little bit about her book, the book that she has right now, her debut book.
Okay. Oh, okay. As I said earlier, it's called A Haven of Mixed Perdition, and it's about a mixed-race girl growing up in the 1940s Deep South. You can imagine the obstacles that are already in front of her being in that setting, and she lives in the deep country with her mother and her stepfather. And when you enter into the story, she is 14 and has been forced to leave school so that she can take care of the house full time.
Okay.
It's funny when people ask me about the book, I always get reluctant because I don't want to give anything away. She's got a hard life getting along with her mother and her stepfather, who doesn't like her and makes sure she knows it on a regular basis. And so it's the beginning of a journey for her out of the frying pan and into the fire, but she eventually comes out on the other side. I don't know how much to say.
Okay. Well, tell us what do you have planned for the future?
Tomorrow, the immediate future, I have my third book reading over at the University of North Carolina Greensboro's Jackson Library. I'm having a book reading and a book signing.
Okay.
And I'm hoping to plan more readings as the summer approaches. I'm also in the middle of I just began a GoFundMe campaign so I can self-publish my second novel.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Okay, so you have a GoFundMe campaign that's going on. And so I do want you to give out your information so different individuals who are listening and those who will play the download, the on-demand version on iHeartRadio, to be able to purchase your book. Do you have it on Amazon and the other outlets on your website as well?
Yes, everything
so
is listed very, very plainly on my website, but my book is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, Google Play, and Outskirts Press.
Okay, wonderful. Well, this has truly been an interesting conversation, and even after the show, we have about 1 minute to go in this episode. Ms. Gail, I don't want you to hang up. There's something else that I need to information I need to give you, so please don't hang up after we end this particular segment. Are you there, Ms. Gail?
Yes, ma'am, I am. Yes, okay, I understand.
Oh, okay, wonderful. All right, so we'll take care of that after the show has ended. And so, Ms. Owens, I do want to ask you, we have about 50 seconds that's left. For those writers who are out there that's young, you know, we have a lot of children that's in school, and they struggle with their writing, and they may think that maybe it isn't for them. What type of inspiration you can give them to keep trying and to keep pushing forward with their writing, those that's in school?
Going to school, you can learn all sorts of things that will help you in your writing as you move along. But you really have to have a passion for it. It has to be a place of bliss for you. When I'm writing, whether it's a short story, a novel, or a blog post, it really, really makes me happy. And finding true happiness is really hard in this life. So if it really makes you happy, don't give up on it, no matter what mainstream, no matter what family members, no matter what professor says. You keep pushing to do what you want to do if it's really what makes you happy.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? That is a wonderful word of encouragement for young people. Anytime that we can encourage our young people, I love to do that because I want them to be able to be inspired, encouraged, and to be informed and be educated. I want this to be a show where young people are inspired and educated. And so we are out of time. I do want to thank everyone that has been listening in and that has joined in on the conversation. I really do appreciate you guys, and please do come back on tomorrow. We do have another show lined up at 3:30 p.m. on Eastern Standard Time Zone, and I do want to thank you for listening. And Ms. Gail, hold on. All right, guys. Hi, Ms. Gail.
Hi, Ms. Adrian.
Oh, okay. You know, I don't want to, even though the show has ended, sometimes it does, go ahead and record. Is it okay that I call you directly?
Yes,
ma'am. I don't want to put this
information
on. Okay, I'll give you a call.
Okay, that'll be fine.
Okay, thank you.
You got my number right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay.